Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Kantai 1, Chapter 7, The Son of Drona Punished, Text Number 37. Sva pranamya para pranai. Sva pranamya para kalaha. Tadvadhas tasya hi shreyo. Yato shad yat yata puman. Sva prananya para pranai. Prapushnat agrina kalaha. Tadhastasya hi shreyo. Yadoshad yatyathapuman. Svapranya para pranai. Prapushnat yagrina kalaha. Tadhastasya hi shreyo. Yadoshad yat yadha puman. Svapranan. One's own life. Yaha. One who. Parapranai. At the cost of others' lives. Prapushnati. Maintains properly. Agrinaha. Shameless. Kahalaha. Wretched. Tatvadaha. Killing of him. Tasya. His. He. Certainly. Shriyaha. Well-being. Yat. By which? Doshat. By the fault. Yati. Goes. Adha. Downwards. Puman. A person. A cruel and wretched person who maintains his existence at the cost of others' lives deserves to be killed for his own well-being. Otherwise, he will go down by his own actions. Purport. A life for a life is just punishment for a person who cruelly and shamelessly lives at the cost of another's life. Political morality is to punish a person by death sentence in order to save a cruel person from going to hell. That a murderer is condemned to a death sentence by the state is good for the culprit, because in his next life he will not have to suffer for his act of murder. Such a death sentence for the murderer is the lowest possible punishment offered to him. And it is said in the Smriti Shastras that men who are punished by the king on the principle of a life for a life are purified of all their sins, so much so that they may be eligible for being promoted to the planets of heaven. According to Manu, the great author of civic codes and religious principles, even the killer of an animal is to be considered a murderer, because animal food is never meant for the civilized man, whose prime duty is to prepare himself for going back to Godhead. He says that in the act of killing an animal, there is a regular conspiracy by the party of sinners, and all of them are liable to be punished as murderers, exactly like a party of conspirators who kill a human being combinedly. He who gives permission, and this is in italics, so you can assume that this is important. He who gives permission, he who kills the animal, he who sells the slaughtered animal, he who cooks the animal, he who administers distribution of the foodstuff, and at last, he who eats such cooked animal food are all murderers. And all of them are liable to be punished by the laws of nature. No one can create a living being, despite all advancement of material science. And therefore, no one has the right to kill a living being by one's independent whims. For the animal eaters, the scriptures have sanctioned restricted animal sacrifices only. And such sanctions are there just to restrict the opening of slaughterhouses and not to encourage animal killing. The procedure under which animal sacrifice is allowed in the scriptures is good both for the animal sacrificed and the animal eaters. It is good for the animal in the sense that the sacrificed animal is at once promoted to the human form of life after being sacrificed at the altar. And the animal eater is saved from grosser types of sin, that is, eating meat supplied by organized slaughterhouses, which are ghastly places for breeding all kinds of material afflictions to society, country, and the people in general. The material world is itself a place always full of anxieties. And by encouraging animal slaughter, the whole atmosphere becomes polluted more and more by war, pestilence, famine, and many other unwanted calamities. So, a life for a life. This kind of philosophy is quite unpopular in this day and age. Popular philosophy, you know, turn the other cheek. But the Bhagavad view, darshan, the Bhagavad darshan, the view of
thinks according to the Bhagavad
is apparently contradictory. It appears to contradict, you know. The turn the other cheek philosophy is considered to be somewhat more merciful. It's considered to be merciful. And, you know, this proper, the presentation of the Bhagavad Gita appears to be without consideration of mercy. But Prabhupada explains here why the apparently harsh or cruel approach. That is, if somebody is a murderer, then they should be punished with death.
Right.
Is actually, you know, the Bhagavad philosophy is actually firmly based on principles of compassion and mercy. Even though externally it appears to be different. Just like Srila Prabhupada was, or you know, there are those who will use the Bhagavad Gita as a treatise for peace, if you like. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita contains within it, as Prabhupada points out, the peace formula. But at the same time, what is the Bhagavad Gita promoting? The Bhagavad Gita promotes violence, doesn't it? Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight. He doesn't tell him to shirk his, he doesn't encourage him to shirk his duties, and his duties are onerous. The service of a Kshatriya is to protect. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Chak means to hurt, Chatriya means to protect from hurt. But sometimes, on occasion, in order to protect the citizens, then some violence or some aggression has to be demonstrated, has to be manifest. And that's what we're seeing here. What's the name of the son of Dronacharya? Ashvatthama, is it?
Yeah.
He's killed the young sons of who? Draupadi. Yeah. Crushed their skulls. No, is that right? Something like that. Anyway, whatever. This is a very heavy section of the Bhagavad Gita. Heinous act. Was it previous or later? Yeah, in the previous verse. A person who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is careless, intoxicated, insane. Unmata. Asleep. Afraid or devoid of his chariot. Nor does he kill a boy, a woman, a foolish creature, or a surrendered soul. You know, we see so many of the conflicts in the modern day where people are just slaughtered mercilessly with no consideration of these principles. But for the Kshatriyas, there are principles involved in the execution of duty. And, you know, those principles have to be understood and should be adhered to. So Ashwatthama has transgressed these principles of religiosity and has killed innocent young babies, practically speaking. And so such behaviour should be punished. And what is the motivation for the punishment? The motivation of the punishment, even though a life for a life appears to be cruel. Huh? Okay, you've killed somebody, now you should be killed. Actually, that punishment is for the benefit of the perpetrator. And Prabhupada mentions here, a death sentence for the murderer is the lowest possible punishment. The lowest possible punishment. And interestingly enough, Prabhupada explains here, those who are punished by the king, even though they're criminals, and have, as a result of their criminal behaviour, they are to receive the fruits of their activities. The basic principle of karma is you sow what you shall reap. Right? You act in a particular way, then you'll get a particular reaction. So, to undermine the importance of rectification and the execution of the appropriate punishment that fits the crime, then a person can be relieved of all of their sinful reactions as a result of that punishment. One can understand the necessity of training and education in this kind of in this culture. How qualified the person who the person who delivers these kind of punishments has to be, how qualified they have to be able to see the crime and then be able to deliver the appropriate reward or the appropriate admonishment, the appropriate punishment in order to benefit the citizens. Because that's the Kshatriya's duty. I don't know if it's, is it here or later on. One of the reasons why Samika Rishi was deeply disturbed by the behaviour of his son, Sringi, was because Samika Rishi understood the importance of the qualifications of the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriya is described as Naradeva, the representative of God. You know, basically the personification of God. And so he has to then personify or embody the principles of religiosity. Very important. And it's interesting here. Who's encouraging is it Arjuna? Yeah. Krishna's encouraging Arjuna to punish Ashwatthama, and he's encouraging him to kill him. Right? You know, these principle, and the Bhagavad Gita is enunciated to establish, it's presented originally by the sun god, or by Vivisvan to Ikshvakudu and so forth. The whole disciplic succession was established to train the Kshatriya kings so they would understand the principles of religiosity. And ultimately the principles of religiosity are based on the sanctity of life, isn't it? We're not the body, that we're spiritual by nature. And the soul is never destroyed. Of course, that can't be used as an excuse to kill people, like Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Just because the soul doesn't die doesn't mean you can go around killing people or killing the animals, because it could be argued, well, what's the problem with killing an animal or killing somebody because the soul doesn't die? Right? But the Kshatriyas were trained to see everything from a spiritual perspective, which is of course our mission also, is to establish religious principles so that people can see things from the proper perspective and can understand that when somebody commits a crime, then they should be punished for that crime in order to be relieved for the reactions of that inappropriate behaviour. And killing, you know, it's interesting in the purport. I was looking at this purport last night trying to work out what was the main point. There's one sentence of many important sentences, but one here where Prabhupada says here, no one can create a living being despite all advancement of material science. You know, Prabhupada would often challenge, okay, scientists, demonstrate your prowess and just create one living being from matter. And Prabhupada would say, you know, he would say, okay, you know, let's not make it very complicated, just make an ant. Or perhaps just, how about a blade of grass? Start off with something simple. We'll give you all of the ingredients and you produce it. Not possible. Not possible. And, you know, so we have our book, you know, Life Comes From Life. And even then, you know, we are not able to create the life force. Ultimately, the life force is eternal. It's the present. The soul is eternal. Was it Ahanyati Hanyamani Sharire? The body is temporary, but the soul is eternal. Therefore, no one has the right to kill a living being by one's independent whims. So this is the principle. And one who's a murderer lives at the cost of others' lives must be punished. And so at the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada says, political morality is to punish a person by a death sentence in order to save a cruel person from going to hell. So one who's a murderer, in order to facilitate their purification or the release from the reactions that come about as a result of killing someone, is to punish them with the death sentence. It appears harsh, but as Prabhupada points out, that then wipes the slate clean, so they don't have to then suffer again in the future. They get their punishment now, You know, just see how qualified the protectors of society have to be in order to clearly identify such behaviour and the appropriate. Not easy. You know, there are many. I was just looking at an article yesterday. There are many men, predominantly, on death row who are there, and you know they've not committed the crime. For example, this is one of the reasons why the death penalty is under such question, and so therefore you know it has to be qualified. You know, it can't just be any. You know, the death penalty can't be exploited and used by those unqualified. But it's interesting, Prabhupada says such a death sentence should be applied to those who kill animals. What to speak of those who kill human beings? This principle should be applied for those who kill animals. That presents us with a little bit of a dilemma, doesn't it? Don't you think? What's the dilemma? Mahatmaji, what's the dilemma?
Shouldn't be any dilemma. If somebody kills...
Shouldn't be any dilemma. Maybe it's a dilemma. What kind of a dilemma does that create for us? That's right. We'd have to go and kill most everybody. One of the reasons why, you know, one of the reasons why Sunika Rishi was upset that Maharaj Parikshit had been cursed to die, because in Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom, nobody was killing animals. But there was no... Basically, everybody was adherent to the basic principles of human existence. And we're living in a society where nobody follows any of the principles of human behaviour. But we should understand what's going on. We should understand the severity of the situation. Right, and Prabhupada says here, and he's talking about Manu's presentation of the civic codes and religious principles. And Prabhupada says, he says that in the act of killing an animal, there is a regular conspiracy by the party of sinners. What does a regular conspiracy mean? Regular conspiracy. What's a regular conspiracy? What?
When it happens frequently.
Yes, it's happening all the time. That's happening all the time. It's a regular conspiracy. And all of them are liable to be punished as murderers, exactly like a party of conspirators who kill a human being combinedly. That's quite heavy, isn't it? I mean, think about it. What's Prabhupada saying here? You know, most of the society should be killed, punished, and for their benefit. We're doing this for your benefit. This hurts me more than it hurts you. But it is interesting. And then Prabhupada gives this in italics. He who gives permission. The person who gives permission, ordinarily, what are they understood to be? If you give permission for an animal to be killed, what does that mean?
You are supporting the, like anyone killing.
Yes, obviously. Yeah. What does that mean? If you give permission for an animal to be killed, what does that mean? What's your relationship with the animal?
Probably you killed the animal.
What's that?
Probably you worked by the
You don't know me. Well, usually it means you're the owner. It's nothing too very... If you give permission for an animal to be killed, that means you're the owner of the animal. Isn't it? You're the owner. He who gives permission, he who kills the animal. Six people. He who sells the slaughtered animal. He who cooks the animal. He who administers distribution of the foodstuff. Heavy. And at last, he who eats such cooked animal food are all murderers. Right, so you know, if you're an accessory to the fact, or even if you're an accessory after the fact, which is described here, you get punished. In court, you get punished.
Yes. So there's also a proper part of this thing, though, if you were starving and you should eat more rather than perish. So
yes.
You maintain your spiritual life.
Yes, that's true, but that's hardly the case in this particular, in our current circumstance that we need, you know, this is the point. We have an abundance of grains and other foodstuffs that we can eat, which are nourishing, healthy, and can support the whole population of the planet without the violence. Isn't it? That's our presentation. The dilemma for us is you know, that we can't. You know, there's no qualified Kshatriyas. This is the rule. But we should understand these principles. You know, we're not going to go bursting out the front gates, you know, okay, kill the murderers for their benefit. Huh? Although we should understand the principles behind these. And of course, we're acting for the people's spiritual benefit. That's why we go out and chant Hare Krishna, why we distribute books, why we distribute prasadam. Because ultimately we want to purify this mentality. Otherwise it would be just, well, you know, it'd just be a war. And of course we wouldn't win. Right? Right? No one has the right to kill a living being by one's independent whims. And you know, it's quite heavy. When you think about this purport, it's actually quite... it's serious business. You know, and Prabhupada makes a point. You know, within the scripture, there are allowances made for those who will eat meat. But not to create slaughterhouses. And again, it's based on the principle of compassion. That the animal that gets sacrificed, it appears to be slaughtered, but actually, as a result of the performance of the sacrifice, everybody's elevated. The people who would eat meat are elevated. The animal who's been sacrificed is elevated. Those who perform the sacrifice are elevated, because there's this basic understanding of the principles that we're not the body, that we're spiritual by nature, that we're eternal, and we have an eternal relationship with God, and that's our activities and our cultivation of knowledge, our economic development, our religiosity, all of them should be aim towards understanding our eternal relationship with Krishna. Ultimately, that's the Bhagavad philosophy. But we can see here Krishna is actually being very, very strong on this point, that Ashvatthama has transgressed principles of religiosity, and as a result of that, the reactions that he get will be severe. Reactions that he's accrued as a result of his killing of the young sons of Draupadi, such that it warrants a very, very, what's the word, strict, strong, firm response. And so therefore, in order to rectify the situation, then he should be killed. This is why Kali Yuga is such a why Samika Rishi was upset, because he knew that with the cursing of Maharaj Parikshit, that would inadvertently usher in the age of Kali. Because a strong Kshatriya king would no longer be present. And then as a result, people would engage in animal killing, would engage in other indiscretions. Well, not even indiscretions, you know, serious, simple activities. And then as a result, the reactions that would come about, this is why the Kali Yuga is such a confusing and disturbed environment. Because there's so much behavior which, in a ordered and structured society that's based on spiritual principles, spiritual values, on the Bhagavad Darshan, if you like, seeing everybody as being spiritual and seeing everyone in relationship with Krishna, with God. That's just not there within the Kali Yuga. So everything's confused, and so heinous, you know, behaviors like animal killing, for example, are just normal, common, as Prabhupada says here, regular. They're just regular activities, regular conspiracy. But it's in the open. And it's acceptable. Well, it's not acceptable. Therefore, as a result of all of these activities, then there's so many reactions taking place. Then at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, the material world is itself a place always full of anxieties, and by encouraging animal slaughter, the whole atmosphere becomes polluted more and more by war, pestilence, famine, and many other unwanted calamities, which we see. You know, then humans perpetrate such violence upon each other. You know, there's always some place in the world where the human beings are destroying themselves, fighting and killing and torturing, starving to death, whatever. So Kali Yuga is a very disturbed environment within which to practice Krishna consciousness, you know, to practice spiritual life, because there are so many faults, right? Here. The word is doshad. Yad doshad, yad yadha puman. As a result of the faulty behavior, then one goes down. So, what's the solution? What's the solution for this? Yes. Yeah. Pop goes the Hare Krishna mantra. Talaya dosha nidhivajan. So many faults in Kali Yuga. You know, we might understand the faults, but then how to change the situation? We're not Kshatriya kings like Maharaj Parikshit or Arjuna, Yudhishthira, you know, who directly was direct associates of Krishna. He's got Krishna telling him, yes, punish him with death is the appropriate punishment. Of course, it's interesting to note that Ashwatthama wasn't killed right? Actually, in the end, it was, and that the punishment was sanctioned by Krishna as appropriate. So we should understand the severity of the reactions that come about as a result of breaking these religious principles. The worst is animal killing, the grossest. Although, no, even that might be the grossest, but not necessarily the worst. So, how to apply these principles? Well, certainly we shouldn't be killing animals, and neither should we be encouraging others. I think understanding these principles and then acting to create a culture or a society, and this is why Prabhupada established ISKCON, was to establish a society where these principles were understood. Most people, there are religious institutions where killing of animals is done in a particular way is considered to be, you know, okay. Isn't it? Which sort of follows on from the point that Prabhupada makes about killing animals as part of a ritual, a sacrifice for the benefit of the animals, but not to, you know, systematic, what is it, have a regular conspiracy. So we need to establish and create a society where people understand these principles. Most people don't understand the severity of the reactions that come as a result. And even, might I add that you know, we can preach these things, but, you know, we can't be Bible bashers. Also, you know, you're all going to go to hell. Dogs, hogs, camels and asses. I remember when I first preached to my brother, after having chanted Hare Krishna for about, you know, 16 rounds for 2 weeks or whatever it was, highly mature devotee that I was. And I remember telling my brother, you know, everybody's going to hell, they're all hogs, dogs, camels and asses. And my brother's like, he had a worried look on his face. You know, we have to promote the positive alternative rather than, you know, hellfire and damnation for all of you sinful rascals, perpetrators of crime. You know, we won't be taken seriously. But we should understand the seriousness of the situation and how it requires intelligent, you know, effort and intelligent influence of people to stop them from, you know, in other words, the positive alternative. This was, you know, the bus, the double decker bus that the devotees had for the Sankirtan and book distribution. And on the side it said, you know, the Hare Krishna movement. And then the byline was the positive alternative. Very important. You know, because if we're preaching to people, you know, you deserve to be killed for your behaviour. Well, in a sense, we can illustrate these things to people palatably, sensibly, or sensitively. But it is a fine line we tread, I guess, when we walk. In presenting here, what is quiet, it's serious. Prabhupada's basically saying, if you're killing animals, then you're non-different to somebody who murders a human being. And the punishment for killing a human being is death. That's what it says, doesn't it? But this instruction is for the qualified Kshatriya. But we have to put it in the context. And, you know, when Lord Chaitanya wanted to chastise Jagai and Madai, and he pulled out his Sudarshan Chakra, then, you know, Lord Nityananda said to him, "We have to be careful here, because if you kill these two, then you've got to kill everybody else." And Lord Chaitanya appeared effectively not to destroy everybody, like Kalki, you know, chop off everybody's heads, but rather to destroy the mentality, the inappropriate mentality, which can only really be done by the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. And that comes from chanting Hare Krishna, rendering service, taking prasad, understanding the principles, the basic principles. So, you know, we're not the Kshatriya kings. I don't know if you noticed or not. We're hardly even though, you know, we may have a Brahminical initiation or whatever, we don't have the culture. This is why the education and training and culture is important for ISKCON, because we need to establish that spiritual culture within our own society, you know, in a solid, with a solid foundation, and with the, you know, with the demonstration and manifestation of that culture, so that we can then influence others. We have to change ourselves, and then in changing ourselves, we can then work on changing others. And that change is done by example, not by, you know, striding up and down the streets with our swords, you know, chastising the miscreants. As there's that Christian saying, you know, "There but for the grace of God go I." So we have to remember where we've come from. So the application of these principles requires some deep understanding of what's involved. There are certainly reactions, and we see that people are suffering as a result of the reactions of their inappropriate behaviour. Well, we're not in a position to immediately release them from their sinful reactions by, you know, chopping off their heads, but we can release them from their immediate reactions by the chanting of Hare Krishna, by distributing prasadam, by giving them positive instructions. You know, so that's why Prabhupada translated the Bhagavad Gita, why he translated the Bhagavatam, and why he encouraged the devotees to distribute his books, so that people could also appreciate the seriousness of the situation, and then change them. You know, change their hearts. That's the methodology. And as we can see here, even though Krishna's being very, very firm on this particular point, in the end, he allows a dispensation for Aspatama. Interestingly enough, strongly emphasizing this point, but then he allows an application, a different application of the same principle. So that's, you know, that's our mission, is to destroy the murderous mentality, or the murderer's mentality, just as it was changed in us. So it's our business to change the mentality of others, and basically that change is affected through association, through good association. The positive, in other words, you know, the positive alternative. That's my understanding anyway. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Killing?
Got a few hands going up there pretty quickly. Sorry? Yeah, that's not killing. That's, yeah, you know, it is just like the Bhagavad Gita could be misconstrued. In fact, you know, the Russian powers that be are trying to, you know, ban the Bhagavad Gita because they're saying it's extremist literature. You know, Arjuna is being incited to fight by Krishna. Right? So, but I was going to mention this point. Glad you brought it up. Thanks. Prabhupada does mention, you know, just like a surgeon uses a knife to cut out a tumor for the benefit of the patient. And, you know, the king may punish a citizen for the benefit of the whole society. And you know, the surgeon has to cut. You know, you've got to cut open somebody. So there's some violence involved. Just as there's violence involved in the chastisement of the citizen. But that violence is good. It's, you know, for the benefit. Lord Balaram is chastising Jamuna for the benefit, to show the example. Service to God is the best action to pursue. Surrender to God is the appropriate action, best and appropriate action to pursue. So, yes, some violence appears to be bad. But applied appropriately, it's good. Mataji, what was your comment?
Yeah, can you say there are so much of mental disorders and
so much what, sorry?
Mental disorders.
Or disorders, yeah.
Yeah, psychiatric problems.
Yeah.
Can it be because of the killing of enemies? Because it's so rampant in the Western part.
I think it's illicit sex more than killing of animals. But that's just personal observation.
So much anxiety neurosis, you know.
Kali Yuga is so confused and convoluted. There may be a connection. But I don't know. Exactly.
Drugs.
Yeah, good point. Oh, so many things. Just relationships are so damaged and spoiled between people. Right? You know, what was it? There's this Australian lady in somewhere. She separated from her husband, wanted to go back to Australia, couldn't because her children had... So she, you know, children couldn't leave the country. Fighting with her husband, so she drowned. Well, it's alleged that she drowned her children in the bath. You know, you just don't kill your children like that, ordinarily. So many disturbed situations.
We're fortunate enough now, though, any route to have the media to spread all that information.
Fortunate. Yeah. Yep, instant. It's instant. Yeah. Yeah, more disturbance. More. There are benefits, but there are a lot of disadvantages from modern. But, our presentation of Krishna consciousness is a peaceful. Delivery for Kali Yuga. When I think about it, we we see how popular a religious culture becomes when they enforce surrender, you know, with a bomb or a gun or whatever. Nobody appreciates that. When you think about it. Any other comments? Questions? Suggestions? You know, prasadam is probably one of our most effective weapons, so to speak. Not a weapon at all, but immensely powerful. I just wanted to mention one thing. You know, today, one devotee, I don't know if any of you, many of you may not know him, but he's a friend of ours, came from Melbourne, to Sringadev Das. He's in hospital at the moment. He was in a motorbike accident some couple of weeks ago. He's in a rather precarious situation, about to leave his body. I'd like us to remember him on this occasion. Sringadev, he was in a motorbike accident before he joined, and he got a payout, an insurance payout. And the insurance payout paid for all of the marble that we have in the deity room at the moment. So, and Sringadev was quite a boisterous personality, a very good collector, a very, very good collector. He was quite capable of collecting, you know, $1,000 a day, and did on more than one occasion, especially in the marathons that we had in the mid early 80s, I suppose. So, Nisringadev did a lot of service to Radha Vallabha and the devotees. So it'd be nice if everybody could pray to Radha Vallabha for his we call it protection for the soul, rather than worrying about the material body, because it appears that his material body is pretty much finished at this point in time. Okay. Kandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai.